WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
Coronavirus update. The target date for Congress to return to Washington is May 4th, but it's unclear if that will happen. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it's not up to her.
Any decision that we have about when we come back rests with the sergeant-at-arms and the Capitol physician.
With Congress targeting the May 4th return, Pelosi says the House will be ready to hit the ground running on the next coronavirus stimulus bill, which she hopes will include funding for the fiscally strapped states and local governments.
And the sooner we can pass it, the better, because our teachers, our firefighters, our first responders, and the rest need the resources that the funding for state and local will bring.
Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Correspondent Abby Phillip reports Joe Biden made a prediction.
Biden saying this to donors at a fundraiser. Mark my words, I think he's going to try to kick back the election somehow, come up with some rationale why it can't be held.
I'm Barton Eckert. According to an administration official, Admiral Michael Gilday, the chief of naval operations, told Defense Secretary Mark Esper that Captain Brett Crozier's command of the USS Theodore Roosevelt should be restored. Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr.
Esper did not accept the recommendation, at least not yet. Esper is saying he wants to read the whole investigation report, and his aides are saying he wants to make sure it's thorough and comprehensive, and then he'll decide if he's going to accept the recommendation to reinstate Crozier. But that is not the way the day started out. Here at the Pentagon, the word was out that that recommendation was going to be made, and there was every expectation that Esper was going to accept it.
Hundreds of workers at Ford, GM, Toyota, and other companies have offered to work in a wartime-like effort to stem shortages of protective medical gear and equipment. I'm Barton Eckert.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
A new problem is brewing in the beer industry, correspondent Ann Cates reports.
Millions of gallons of beer sitting in empty stadiums, concert halls, restaurants, and pubs are quickly going stale. According to the Wall Street Journal, the coronavirus pandemic forced bars to close ahead of two big drinking occasions, St. Patrick's Day and the March Madness basketball tournament. Draft beer typically stays fresh for 2 to 6 months. Manufacturers are trying to figure out how to deal with 10 million gallons of beer trapped in closed venues in March alone. Even more is sitting in warehouses and breweries and could cost the industry $1 billion as it looks for ways to safely dispose of the expiring beer. I'm Ann Cates.
Federal prosecutors say a New York retailer has been charged with hoarding disposable masks, surgical gowns, and hand sanitizer in a Long Island warehouse and selling the items at huge markups. That's a violation of the Defense Production Act of 1950. I'm Barton Eckert.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
So far, traffic is running at speed this morning on the Capitol Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. On the outer loop of the Beltway, right near the Bradley Boulevard overpass, you will find some construction along the right shoulder and possibly in the right lane. That is not causing any delays at this time. In Bethesda, be aware of a work zone on 355 northbound between Waverly Street and Montgomery Avenue affecting the right turn lane. And you will also find some construction on 270 southbound after 109 in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Expect mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Showers be possible by sunset, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain likely tonight. Isolated rumble of thunder, heavy at times, lows 47 to 53 for your Sunday morning rain. We'll have some lingering afternoon showers, highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Money news that may make you laugh. This is the Stacking Benjamin Show.
Isn't it wild? What a difference a year makes.
Host Joe Salcii and crew will help you survive these troubled times.
It's only $5,000, so let's cash it out. Big, big, big mistake.
I know, I've done it.
Get great financial advice with humor.
Oh, and you know something else you get to put off? For many people, paying those student loans.
Listen and subscribe to the Stacking Benjamin Show, free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy audio.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
Mova's Diamond Importers salutes our heroic nurses fighting COVID-19 by offering you Psalm 91 silver bangles. The psalm reveals, "No harm shall overcome you." All income from the sales of bangles engraved, 91 is greater than 19, will be donated to American nurses. The price of your elegant silver bangle is just $91 delivered. Mova's reminds you this pandemic will pass, but love will stay. A small gift can do wonders. To support our nurses, go to mervisdiamond.com.
Montgomery County Ride-On's annual food drive is returning for its 32nd year. Please donate a non-perishable food item when you board any Ride-On bus April 19th through the 25th. Healthy food and drink items for kids are especially encouraged. Ride-On will do their part by giving you a free ride in return. That's the 32nd annual Montgomery County Ride-On annual food drive happening April 19th through the 25th. Let's work together to make sure no one goes hungry in Montgomery County.
Select Auto Imports would like to express our deep gratitude to our hero first responders and healthcare workers who are working hard to defeat COVID-19. Select Auto Imports would like to welcome you to the future of car buying from the comfort of your own home. Visit our express store and handle all aspects of your purchase online at selectautoimports.com, and we'll deliver your new car to your home. Selectautoimports.com for the best selection of certified pre-owned luxury vehicles.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9
FM, WMAL. Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. It's great to have you with us. Jane Houghton and our producer, Jeff Wolf, behind the console. And a number of different stories that we're going to be talking about this morning. Of course, President Trump, his comments about disinfectants and the fallout from that, his response yesterday to follow-up questions from reporters. We'll get into that shortly. Big question marks about Kim Jong-un's health. Of course, the leader of North Korea has not been seen since April 11th. Speculation swirling around the globe on that one. And we're going to be talking with Gordon Chang about that later on this morning, and also KT McFarland, what that would mean in terms of if there were a change in leadership in North Korea. We'll get to that this morning. Georgia has reopened hair salons, barbershops, gyms, and bowling alleys. A lot of people think he's moving too fast, including the president. We'll get into that one shortly. And a lot of the controversy surrounding coronavirus, the task force, the briefings, has the president been going on too long in the briefings? There are supposed reports from White House sources, according to CNN. Excuse me, didn't mean to chuckle when I said that. But there are reports that they're trying to get the president to dial back the length of those briefings, even stop the briefings. But again, those are according to sources CNN is reporting. Excuse me. Also, this morning, we will be talking with Jennifer Harper. She's got some interesting poll numbers on how Americans are feeling about coronavirus and how that breaks down. We're going to be talking with Cheryl Atkinson. She's got a fascinating story about the mayor of Miami. He was one of the really early elected leaders to contract the coronavirus. He has recovered. And the whole story of plasma treatments, and this connects to another person in Miami. The mayor is going to be providing plasma. It's a really interesting story. We'll get that from Cheryl Atkinson later on this morning. And also, when we talk to Cheryl, we'll be looking more into those intelligence leaks about the White House and President Trump, and a key senator is looking into that as well. So we'll find out the very latest from Cheryl Atkinson on that this morning. As I mentioned, we'll talk with Gordon Chang about North Korea. Also, a lot going on between China and the U.S., China adding additional funds to the World Health Organization. What does that mean? Well, we'll get it from the expert, Gordon Chang, coming up this morning. John Gizzi will join us, and John will take a look at what the picture of succession would be in North Korea if there were a leadership change. He's got some interesting information there for us. And also, of course, we'll be looking at the latest from the White House and the president from John Gizzi, because he is the White House correspondent for Newsmax.com. So we've got a lot to cover on the Saturday morning update. And what I want to do is take a minute here. You've probably seen snippets of the president's comments about disinfectants. And you've probably seen snippets from yesterday when he was asked about it. And he came back and said the comment was sarcastic and the tone was sarcastic. So I thought what we'd do is we'd play about 40 seconds of his comments and put it in context, because when you see a 10-second snippet on a cable news channel, it doesn't really give you the context. It, you know, and sometimes they edit those snippets depending on where they want to take the story. So we thought we'd play the full clip. Now, this is Thursday. The president is speaking at the White House Corona Task Force briefing, and he made these comments about disinfectants. Here's what he said.
So, supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
So there he's talking about disinfectants like Lysol and things, and he's talking about ultraviolet light. And there was a study that just came out yesterday from Cedars-Sinai about ultraviolet light and its potential effects in the fight against coronavirus. So that was what the president said on Thursday. That created a firestorm, and the media spun that around to make it sound as though the president was suggesting that people go out and buy Clorox or Lysol and start injecting it. So that was a 24-hour flurry of activity until yesterday, when the president was asked the question at the White House. And here's how he cast that comment you just heard. Here's how the president explained it yesterday.
Clarify your comments about injections of disinfectant. They're quite provocative.
No, I was asking the question sarcastically to reporters like you just to see what would happen. Now, disinfectant for doing this maybe on the hands would work. And I was asking the question of the gentleman who was there yesterday, Bill, because when they say that something will last 3 or 4 hours or 6 hours, but if the sun is out or if they use disinfectant, it goes away in less than a minute. Did you hear about this yesterday? But I was asking a sarcastic and a very sarcastic question to the reporters in the room about disinfectant on the inside. But it does kill it, and it would kill it on the hands, and that would make things much better. That was done in the form of a sarcastic question to the reporters.
So that's how he explained it. And, of course, he got a follow-up question.
But you were asking your medical experts to look into it. Were you being sarcastic with them?
To look into whether or not sun and disinfectant on the hands, but whether or not sun can help us. Because, I mean, he came in yesterday and he said they've done a big study. This is a study. This isn't where he hasn't done it. This is where they've come in with a final report that sun has a massive impact negatively on this virus. In other words, it does not live well with humidity, and it doesn't live well with sunlight, heat. It doesn't live well with heat and sun and disinfectant. And that's what I brought out, and I thought it was clear. Okay, anything else?
Well, you can formulate your own opinion as to what he said, what it meant, and you can formulate your own opinion as to how the media covered it. Wow. 6:16 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
So far, should be a good ride for you this morning on the Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. Do keep in mind there is a work zone on the inner loop of the Beltway at 66. It's affecting the left lane of the ramp to go westbound on 66 and also eastbound on 66 at the Beltway. Long-term road work is affecting the ramp to go onto the inner loop. Earlier road work westbound on 66 near Business 234 in Manassas has been picked up. All the earlier road work on 395 has been picked up. Keep in mind those express lanes are closed this weekend for road work between Springfield and the 14th Street Bridge. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Expect mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Showers be possible by sunset. Highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain likely tonight. Isolated rumble of thunder. Heavy at times. Lows 47 to 53 for your Sunday morning rain. Plus some lingering afternoon showers. Highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 46 degrees in the nation's capital. It's 6:18.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And as we mentioned, a lot of speculation swirling out of North Korea as to the condition of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And we'll give you a little quick background on it, and these are the latest reports that we're seeing this morning. Reuters and Newsweek both reporting that China has sent a team of doctors to North Korea to help determine whether the supreme leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un's health status, what that status is. Reuters reporting yesterday. Now, Hong Kong satellite television reported that Kim was dead. Again, that from Hong Kong satellite television, but there has been no confirmation from U.S. sources at this time, no confirmation from North Korea, so that could be totally inaccurate. Kim's last confirmed public appearance was on April 11th. That was at a meeting of the government. State media also sharing footage of attempting the aerial assault drills the following day on April 12th. But the big question is emanating from his absence on April 15th. That's the Day of the Sun, and that's the celebration that's dedicated to his grandfather, the founder of North Korea, Kim Il-sung. And that's what's first sparked the speculation regarding his well-being because of his absence. Now, there was a report that he underwent heart surgery on April 12th that was sparked by an anonymous source featured in the South Korea-based Daily NK outlet. Are you confused? I am too. The rumors have been discounted by U.S. intelligence, but speculation continues to swirl. We'll talk with Gordon Chang about it to get more of the background coming up in the next half hour or so here on WMAL, but that is a story that that is circulating. And again, no official word out of North Korea and no official word from any U.S. sources on it. Turning back to the United States, Georgia has reopened hair salons, barbershops, gyms, and bowling alleys. People are conflicted in the state, as I think we all are. We all want to get back to a normal work routine, but at the same time, we want to stay safe and we want to stay healthy. Now, the governor of Georgia is Brian Kemp. He's gotten into it a little bit with President Trump. Indeed, he has. Now, what's happened is that a lot of people are saying that these are non-essential. Spas, beauty salons, tattoo parlors, barbershops, and bowling alleys? They maybe should take it a little slower. That's what people are saying not only in Georgia, but all over the country. Now, the governor tweeted on Thursday night, he said, quote, "Our decisions and leadership are informed by statistics and public health recommendations." That's what the governor said. Well, the president has put out some tweets, and the president had this to say earlier in the week.
I said, "You make your own decision." I told him that. I said, "You're not in the guidelines, but I'm letting you make your own decision. But I want people to be safe, and I want the people in Georgia to be safe. And I don't want this thing to flare up because you're deciding to do something that is not in the guidelines. But if you ask me, am I happy about it? I'm not happy about it, and I'm not happy about Brian Kemp."
Wow. Brian Kemp is the governor of Georgia that President Trump campaigned for. Very close race with Stacey Abrams. And, of course, there is speculation that the Democratic gubernatorial candidate who lost in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, could end up on the Democratic ticket with Joe Biden. Speaking of Joe Biden, he says he is concerned that Donald Trump will try to delay the November presidential election. A tweet from Joe Biden. And also, here's what he said at a fundraiser. It was an online fundraiser on Thursday night. Quote, "Mark my words, I think he's going to try to kick back the election somehow, come up with some rationale why it can't be held." That from Joe Biden. Now, under the law, no president has the power to postpone the presidential election. To change the date, the Congress would have to intervene. I can't see the Democratic Congress allowing President Trump to change the date, even if he wanted to. Well, that's just some of the stuff that people are talking about this morning. It's 6:23. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
These are unprecedented times, which are causing a lot of stress and financial worry for millions of Americans. But here's some good news. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, Optima Tax Relief can reduce the stress in your life by helping you resolve your tax debt right from the safety of your own home. Make no mistake, you don't want to ignore the IRS right now. They can take your paycheck and everything you work so hard for. But with Optima on your side, you may qualify for help that saves you thousands. Their tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. Optima is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau and has resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for taxpayers across the nation. So now's the time for tax help you need, for tax help you trust. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
During the COVID-19 crisis, Cascade Center for Dental Health needs to share some important information. Though we feel that every dental visit is important, we understand that the health and well-being of everyone depends on following the CDC's safety rules. We also feel that the right personal protective equipment should be reserved for use in hospitals, so conserving them for the right dental purposes is crucial. So Cascade Center for Dental Health appointments for elective exams, cleanings, x-rays, whitening, and other minor procedures are postponed until further notice. But we also know that there are patients that have a need for essential care that can't wait. Anything causing you pain in a tooth, your teeth, or jawbone, any gum swelling, infections, or broken teeth should be taken care of. We are available if needed and can advise you safely with a teledental session to put your mind at ease. For information about emergency care, go to CascadesDental.com or call 866-25-SLEEP. And please, stay safe.
They call, send letters, email, and visit your home. They're not friends or family. They're con artists, scammers, and criminals. In times like these, it's important to learn how to protect yourself. Credit card schemes, bogus investment opportunities, and free vacation scams are just a few ways that today's criminals target you and your family. Protect yourself. Never give anyone your social security number, credit card, or bank account information unless you initiated the call. Stay informed of current scams by contacting your Attorney General's office and Better Business Bureau. If you're a victim, reporting the con to the local authorities will prevent others from suffering the same fate. To learn more about how to keep your family safe from con artists and scams, visit ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
It is the Saturday morning update. Good morning. I'm talking about the situation in Georgia, and there's been a lot of attention paid to the situation in Michigan. Now, you've probably seen and heard from Governor Gretchen Whitmer. President Trump's sparred with her. She's a Democratic governor of the state of Michigan. She lengthened the stay-at-home orders through May 15th. She made that announcement yesterday. At the same time, she lifted restrictions on some businesses so that they can reopen and the public can participate in some outdoor activities like golf without the golf cart. Rules out a number of people. And also motorized boating is okay now in Michigan, and a lot of water in Michigan, by the way. Got a whole lake, Lake Michigan. The measure immediately replaces one that was scheduled to expire next week. Now, they have about 3,000 deaths related to COVID-19. It puts them number three in the United States behind New York and New Jersey. Well, of course, her decision caused controversy. People are now required to wear face coverage at enclosed public spaces like grocery stores. Employers must provide non-medical grade masks to their in-person employees. Landscapers, lawn service companies, plant nurseries, and bike repair shops in Michigan can now resume operation. However, people aren't happy. In fact, the Republican legislature is not happy. And there are a lot of people in Michigan pushing the Republican legislature to take some action. There have been lawsuits on behalf of anglers, landscaping companies, other business owners, Republicans who control the legislature in Michigan, criticizing the plan, and they want to limit the governor's emergency powers. Here's what she had to say if the Republican legislature were to vote to limit her powers.
I'm just going to reiterate for I don't know how many, the umpteenth time, I'm not going to sign any bill that takes authority away from me or from any future governor.
So, they vote a bill, she's going to veto it. Politics, politics, politics. 6:29, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up in the next half hour, Jennifer Harper with some interesting looks at attitudes about coronavirus and political opinions about coronavirus. And we'll talk with Gordon Chang, get a very detailed explanation of what is going on with Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and also a number of actions the U.S. and China have taken this week. And what does all that mean? All coming up on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
Arr, you mateys, welcome to the ocean. I've sailed the seven seas 100 times and found something I like even more than me treasure. Tis the ocean, beautiful and clear. Right now, I'd be sailing over the Great Barrier Reef. It just shivers me timbers thinking of all the fish and coral below me. Wait, what's that floating by? The plastic bag! By Blackbeard's eye patch, that's disgusting! Why did you know that many of these things come from folks throwing them carelessly on the ground? It'd be true! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. Boys, get the plank ready. Somebody's gotta dive in and get that bag. Any volunteers? All right, fine. I'll do it myself. Cannonball! Find out what you can do to help keep the oceans healthy at keepoceansclean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Matt always knew he wanted to be a doctor. That's why he makes the most of every day. To study before breakfast. To work hard. To do whatever was necessary to achieve his goal. He found an answer in the military. If you have a passion, a vision for your future in any field, todaysmilitary.com can be your path to a fulfilling career. You have a calling. We have an answer. Find your way at todaysmilitary.com.
In some of the other news stories that we're covering this morning, nearly 2 months after ending his presidential campaign, Mike Bloomberg is again deploying his massive personal fortune, this time to combat the coronavirus. The billionaire is spending tens of millions of dollars on a variety of local and international initiatives aimed at halting the spread of the virus and supporting first responders. Bloomberg allies say his efforts are a reflection of his unique strengths as a business leader with a vast political network, but they're also helping the former New York City mayor rehabilitate his image after the embarrassing finish in the Democratic presidential primary. A handful of Texas businesses have reopened in defiance of state guidance in the fight against the coronavirus. They're now allowing retailers to offer to-go service but leave other restrictions in place. In Dallas on Friday, a hair salon owner was issued a citation but refused to close her business. A Houston-area restaurant opened to customers who wanted to eat inside, demarcating available tables by tablecloth color in an effort to ensure social distancing. Salons and dine-in restaurant service are not yet allowed under a series of orders intended to restart the economy there. Those efforts being championed by the Texas Governor Greg Abbott. He announced earlier this month some of the restrictions would be lifted. Hundreds of workers at Ford, General Motors, Toyota, and other companies have offered to work in a wartime-like effort to stem shortages of protective medical gear and equipment. Even though most of the factories have been shut down to slow the spread of the virus, they have stepped up to fill a critical shortage. Many would get most of their pay even if they stayed at home, but Ford worker Cindy Parkhurst says she's helping to make face shields with hopes that they find their way to the hospital where nurses treated her mother with compassion after a stroke 15 years ago. The top Navy officer has recommended that Captain Brett Crozier be returned to his ship. Officials say that Admiral Mike Gilday has recommended the reinstatement of the aircraft carrier captain. He had been fired for sending a fraught email to commanders pleading for faster action to protect his crew from a coronavirus outbreak. That email ended up in the newspapers. Now, the story about the recommendation for reinstatement is according to officials who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss the results of an investigation that have not yet been made public. Gilday reportedly met with General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on Tuesday, and with Defense Secretary Mark Esper yesterday morning to lay out his recommendations. 6:35 Saturday morning update, WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On 66 in Falls Church in Arlington, a road widening project is taking place this weekend, and that will be reducing the roadway to one lane eastbound on 66 between the Connector Road and Washington Boulevard and between Washington Boulevard and Sycamore Street, so do keep that in mind. Also on the inner loop at 66, long-term road work blocks the left lane of the ramp to go westbound on 66. And on eastbound 66 at the Beltway, that ramp to the inner loop, you will also find the left lane block. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Expect mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Showers be possible by sunset, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain likely tonight, isolated rumble of thunder, heavy at times, lows 47 to 53 for your Sunday morning rain. We'll have some lingering afternoon showers, highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Currently in Washington, 46 degrees, and it's 6:36 on the Saturday morning update.
There are times when our need to connect really matters, to keep customers and employees in the know, to keep business moving. Comcast Business is prepared for times like these, powered by the nation's largest gig speed network, to help give you the speed, reliability, and security you need, delivering the tools that let you manage your business from any device, anywhere. Plus, voice solutions for any size business, including remote call forwarding and readable voicemail. And with Comcast Business, you have the support of experts here for you 24/7. All drawing from extensive experience in preparing for a wide variety of situations. And backed by a network that has the capacity to ensure that work gets done. Comcast Business believes in the power of working together. Which is why when every connection counts, you can count on us. To learn more, go to comcastbusiness.com/response.
It is the Saturday morning update. It is great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler, and we are joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Watching the media continue to skewer President Trump, and President Trump giving him enough material to skewer him with, it still is interesting to see what's going on Wall Street, because not a terrible week this week.
Well, actually, I do have some good news. And, you know, before I deliver the good news, I have to say it really has been a wild week for the media. I mean, what with all the Lysol effects going on all week. And you have to remember, the media seems to be losing its calling to inform the public in a meaningful way. But that's another subject for another day. But let's go on to our good news, because I do have some good news. And here's a poll to prove that. Nearly 80% of American investors believe that the economic downturn brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic presents big investment opportunities, and that now is a profitable time to invest in financial markets. This is coming from a poll of about 1,700 U.S.-based investors conducted by investing.com, a very interesting site if you're into that sort of thing or curious about it. Anyway, they say that while more than 70% of U.S. investors anticipate the long-term effect of the coronavirus crash being worse than it was in 2008, the majority, over 60%, say the crisis also presents a bigger investment opportunity. Again, this is coming from a poll. And they say, continuing on a positive note, over 55% of investors believe the economy will fully recover a year from now. 32% believe it will do so by the end of 2020, and only 4% of the respondents think that the economy will never fully recover. And I do want to quote Jesse Cohen. He is the senior markets analyst at investing.com. This is what he said. With the economy likely already in a recession, investors should be prepared to take advantage of the opportunities presented by volatile trading conditions. Like the old adage says, panic when everyone is greedy, but be greedy when everyone panics. So according to Jesse Cohen, the senior markets analyst, it's might behoove everyone to take a peek at the stock market and maybe at some point take a peek at their 401k.
You know, it's pretty amazing that all of a sudden the latest fashion is in masks.
Oh, yeah. To say the least, we have entered a whole kind of safety culture now. And everyone's seen, you know, the disposable light blue clinical wraps, but these hand-sewn masterpieces and custom-fitted industrial versions. I mean, we've all seen people with a snorkel going around in the grocery stores, but the masks are definitely becoming fashion statements and lots more, and we should get used to it because I have some more numbers for you this morning. And most of Americans think that the masks are here for a while. And this is according to a new YouGov poll of 8,000 Americans. It was released on Thursday. Nearly 2 in 3 people, 64%, say they expect face masks to be a regular part of life for the next 12 months. This figure is highest among two groups, Democrats and people who reside in the Northeast. Democrats, 76%, feel that it's going to be around that long, and up in the Northeast, where we are, 71%. Republicans are less likely to be convinced that face masks will become a social norm. And close to 1 in 2 Republicans, that's 54%, still expect it will be a regular part of life over the next year. So I guess the safety culture is here to stay. It may be perhaps more stylish. And if you're wondering about the market for face masks, well, CNBC says it's been an explosion of sales of face masks, and Market Watch is predicting that U.S. sales of the mask will increase by 153% this year. And the BBC is also reporting that all the big-name rock bands are now including face masks in their branded merchandise. So that's your face mask report for this morning.
Yeah, I don't know who's selling any merchandise out there because all the concerts are canceled. I got a note that my Steve Miller Band tickets in August were going to be refunded. At least I'm getting a refund. A lot of people are not even getting refunds.
That's right.
So as Joe Biden relaxes in the basement doing an occasional media hit and hoping that he gets through it in one piece, he's pondering selections for vice president. And the name of a former first lady keeps entering the story. Michelle Obama, what are you hearing on that concept?
Well, there's a big conspiracy theory out there that if Michelle Obama becomes Mr. Biden's vice president, that if he gets elected, that he will step down and Michelle will become president and former President Obama will become vice president. That's one of the conspiracy theories floating around right now. Interesting thought. But someone else has an interesting analysis about this. And they say that, you know, former First Lady Michelle Obama has indeed appeared on press radar as the ideal running mate for Joe Biden. You know, we're getting closer to the time he's going to have to let us know. And she may not be the best choice here. And this is coming from Nate Ashworth. He is the editor-in-chief of Election Central, a very interesting news site if you want to keep up on all the minutiae of the election. He says the downfall for Biden in this potential scenario would be the continued reality of being outshined by his vice president, even though Michelle Obama is second on the top of the ticket. Again, this is coming from Nate Ashworth. And he says that Mrs. Obama is not likely interested at the moment because, you know, she and former President Obama are producing documentaries for Netflix, they're writing bestsellers, they have a Hollywood house, etc. So he says she has much more influence from the outside, free from the requirements and limits of working inside the government. It's hard to see her leaving that life to go back into public service and spend months on a grueling campaign trail and then serve 4 or more years in the White House. And the potential also exists that Mrs. Obama's presence would highlight Mr. Biden's weakness as a candidate, he said. It is very likely that Michelle Obama will be on the campaign trail in 2020, but stumping for Joe Biden, and she'll probably do so alongside President Obama. So he says that Michelle could very well outshine Mr. Biden. So it's an interesting thought.
Watching the polls, watching attitudes about Republicans and Democrats about the coronavirus, it surprises me that people view a disease from a political perspective.
Yeah, well, they do. It's very interesting to watch the dynamics out there when these polls come out and they're going into all the demographics about how people are reacting to this sort of unprecedented crisis that we're having right now. And at the moment, Republicans seem to be staying a lot cooler than their Democratic counterparts. And I've got two polls, and there are lots of polls out there, but this one came from the Kaiser Family Foundation survey. And, you know, they are a health background and so forth and so on. Very lengthy poll, but they discovered that 51% of Americans now believe that the worst is yet to come in the coronavirus crisis. Well, 27% of Republicans believe that, along with 64% of Democrats, and also 31% of Americans overall say that the worst is behind us. Well, 53% of Republicans agree with that, along with just 21% of Democrats. And let's move on down to a Yahoo News poll. These are all polls that were conducted this week. And you find that 74% of Americans overall are very or somewhat worried about coronavirus, and that includes 64% of Republicans and 88% of Democrats. And also 33% overall say the virus is a very serious health risk, but not the greatest risk. That includes 25% of Republicans and 40% of Democrats. Anyway, it goes on and on down the line, and I don't know whether it's a view of attitude, if people are just being optimistic and part of the Trump family, I don't know. But it's interesting, I've seen this over and over again, where Republicans seem to be just a little cooler under the collar than Democrats at this point.
Of all of the different activities and businesses and now governmental programs to be impacted, what's happening with the United States Census in the middle of all of this?
The United States Census and all of this is soldiering on. I did some research this week to find out how they're doing, and they are still very, very busy despite the pandemic and all that goes along with it, because the U.S. population still needs to be counted, and so far they have already counted 1.8% of the nation, and that is 76.6 million households have responded to their call so far, and they're very good about revealing what they know, and some of the locales appear more eager than others, Rick. And Minnesota currently leads the way among all the states with their response rate. They've had 60.2 response rates, and most notably from our area, Virginia is number 8 on the list. They've had 56.8% response so far, and if you're curious about the counties, Los Alamos, New Mexico, is in first place among counties with a 70.6 response. And they get down pretty close here with the cities. The first place, biggest response of all, is North River, North Dakota. They've already all responded, and they have a response rate of 100% because its entire population of 55 people have responded. And in second place is Trout Valley, Illinois, at 86.7%, population 521. And I do want to offer a diversion of the day. If you're still online most of the time, you're still looking for something to do, the census has some amazing statistics on there. You can find it at 2020census.gov, and they also list every response rate for all the towns, the counties, the states that there are. And it's an interesting read if you're really bored out there. And just go to 2020census.gov and look under Get the Facts, and you will find the response rates for just everywhere in the nation. It's kind of interesting.
That's funny. Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, as always, thank you very much. And you can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks a lot.
It's 6:49, Saturday morning update. Coming up next, we'll talk with Gordon Chang. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Traveling on the Beltway in Bethesda on the outer loop right at the 270 spur, there is construction there in the right lane. It is not causing any delays. In the district, there is road work on southbound 295 between the 11th Street Bridge and the Suitland Parkway. And keep in mind that construction closes the ramp from the outbound Suitland Parkway to go northbound on 295. On New York Avenue, you will find some road work, long-term construction in each direction between the 3rd Street Tunnel and 1st Street. Look for lane closures in each direction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds on this Saturday. We will see some showers possible by sunset. Dry for the majority of the day, though, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain become likely tonight. Isolated rumble of thunder, lows in the 40s to lower 50s. For your Sunday morning rain, some lingering afternoon showers, highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 46 degrees in Washington. It's 6:50 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Gordon Chang joins us. He is the author of The Coming Collapse of China and his latest booklet, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. Gordon, good morning. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick.
I've been following you on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang, and you've written a lot about actions taken by both China and the U.S. recently. China receiving very harsh words from Secretary of State Pompeo this week, and there's sort of multiple fronts here. And I think first off on the coronavirus, the Secretary of State very concerned about the cooperation with China on the whole coronavirus problem.
Yeah, he is concerned about the non-cooperation from China. From the very beginning, and we're talking first week of January, China has rebuffed attempts from the United States to offer assistance. And that occurred, of course, this week. The problem that is, I think, uppermost in people's mind is what is going on in that institute in Wuhan, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where they were storing more than 1,500 strains of coronavirus. And there's a concern that there was biological weapons research and also just not adherence to safety protocols. And that's why this virus, in all probability, this epidemic started because a virus accidentally escaped from this lab.
We had Western scientists have been at that lab. What do we know about that?
Yeah, in 2018, the State Department sent investigative teams, and they came away alarmed. There was a failure to adhere to safety protocols and procedures. And they, at the time, warned that there could be a pandemic from a SARS-like virus. SARS is the 2002-2003 epidemic, also caused by a coronavirus. And that's exactly what happened here. There's a lot of science that says that this disease did not start at the wet market in Wuhan, which is the narrative that Beijing has been propagating. And the reason for that is that many of the initial cases of coronavirus had no contact with that wet market. Well, if they didn't have a contact with the wet market, there's really only one other suspect, and that is this Wuhan Institute of Virology.
A lot of question marks about the death toll in China and whether we believe what Chinese government officials are saying. Do you have a sense of the magnitude that we may not know about?
China's reporting about 4,600 deaths, and that seems to be abnormally low. People are talking about perhaps 40 to 49,000 deaths in Wuhan alone. What is striking is that this disease looks very different in China, contagiousness and lethality, than it does everywhere else in the world. So either this bug behaves differently inside China's borders, or Beijing is just out and out lying. And I think most people have decided that it's a lot of fibbing going on in the Chinese capital when it comes to these infections and death numbers.
Reports this week, Gordon, that China will give the World Health Organization an additional $30 million after the U.S. freezes funding. Wanted to get your assessment of the relationship of China to the World Health Organization in general.
It looks like Beijing owns the WHO. And it's not because they give a lot of money. They give generally $40 million a year. With this $30 million, it's going to be $70 million. But the U.S. contributions are in the $400 to $500 million a year range. And on top of that, the Gates Foundation gives more to the WHO. So this is not an issue of money buying influence. I think it's because China spent a lot of resources in getting Dr. Tedros, the director general of the WHO, elected. Tedros was a leftist anyway, but China put its full weight behind him. And because of that, I think Tedros has decided that he is just going to further every narrative that Beijing wants.
Gordon, there's a lot of information coming out of South Korea about the condition of the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. What do we know in terms of his health at this point?
We suspect that there was some health emergency sometime after April 11th. And the reason is that Kim was a no-show on April 15th, which is the most important day in the North Korean calendar. It's the Day of the Sun, which commemorates the birth of Kim Il-sung, the founder of the regime, and the grandfather of the current ruler, Kim Jong-un. Many people have been talking about cardiac arrest. Some people talk about other ailments. But he hasn't been seen. And there are reports from Reuters that a team of Chinese doctors have gone to see Kim Jong-un. Now, it could be brain death, which was reported by one of the major news organizations, or it could be nothing more serious than COVID-19. Or maybe something wrong with his legs, as some people have said. But until he shows up, people are going to talk about this.
If he were to pass away, what would you see in terms of the new leadership in North Korea?
My guess is that there will be a Kim family member at the top of this. And the reason is that the regime needs the legitimacy of the PEC-2 bloodline, as they call it. Now, a Kim family member may be nothing more than a figurehead, but clearly there needs to be at least one. And people are focusing on Kim's younger sister, Kim Yo-jung. She's considered to be the most capable of the children of Kim Jong-il, but she did not become leader in 2011 when her father had a heart attack. And the reason is because she's a female. And in a Confucian society like North Korea, she was considered to be ineligible. But now, because there's so much stress on the regime, I think anything is possible, and she could emerge as at least the regent and maybe even the power herself.
Gordon Chang, as always, thank you very much. And you can follow Gordon's tweets over the weekend at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. Very much appreciate it, Gordon.
Thank you very much, Rick.
6:57. This is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. The 7 o'clock news is coming up. John Gizzi joins us, White House correspondent from Newsmax.com. We've got Cheryl Atkison from Full Measure, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland, all between now and 8 o'clock.
What should you be doing right now to get ready to sell or buy your home? With the COVID virus shutting down normal life for a non-specified time, how can you prepare? Join me, Eric Stewart, the host of the Eric Stewart Real Estate Shows here on WMAL, for a special webinar called Selling and Buying Real Estate in the COVID-19 Market. On the webinar, I'll tell you what steps you should take to prepare for your sale or purchase so that when the shutdown lifts, you are ready to get the best terms possible. We will cover the top investments you can make that actually make you money, what questions to ask a realtor before you hire one, and how to negotiate through a home inspection. Plus, I'll answer questions about any issues you have with the condition of your home or potential hardships you might be facing. Sign up today at ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com. Questions? Call us at 1-800-900-9104. That's 1-800-900-9104.
Don't miss Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson, Sundays at 9 p.m. on WMAL. Learn about elder care, estate planning, and more. Ryan Wilson Law is on your side. Visit RyanWilsonLaw.com. That's RyanWilsonLaw.com.
McMillan Sedation Dentistry would like to thank our many patients who have entrusted them with their dental health care throughout the years. What is certain is that Dr. McMillan and his staff are still dedicated to providing the best dental care for our patients during this crisis. Currently, the office remains open for emergencies only. However, we are now offering teledentistry for virtual appointments to assist with emergency consults as well. Call 703-503-9490 online at smileeasy.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.